As we remain standing, let us pray. Lord, you have consecrated your world by sending your Son into the midst of it and by making all things new in him. Form us in your image and deepen your life within us. Send us as witnesses of gospel joy into a world of fragile peace and broken promises, and touch the hearts of all with your love, that they in turn may love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I just want to make a couple of comments about the Nehemiah reading. So Nehemiah had been sent back to Jerusalem to build the temple. And there were many issues. They had been, you know, the great exile. They had been taken away to Babylon. And they had not, many of the people had not heard the book of the law, the word. They didn't have teachers or whatever. So this was a big deal for the book of the law to be read to folks. And I thought it was interesting that one of the readings, and they said, and they held up their hands. I'm thinking, see, Pentecostals don't have a license on that one. Even there, they raised up their hands. And what did they say? Amen, amen, which means so be it. And then the Corinthians reading, this whole notion of one body. We're one body of which there are many members. And I loved the brilliance of it. If you didn't have an eye, you know, I just, anyhow, I liked it. Like many of you, I have spent countless hours in focus groups discussing what our mission is. I have written on pages of newsprint, taped to walls, sharing words and phrases and ideas. And I have many memories of getting bogged down in commas, proper prepositions, tenses, and meanings. Has anyone ever been to meetings like that? Eventually, you come up with one sentence that is designed to encapsulate who and what we are and what we do. To tell you the truth, they don't come readily to mind now, and I've gone through many mission statement things. Now, St. David, St. Paul has a mission statement. If you look on the front of your bulletin, you're going to see it there. Does anybody remember when this was created? Barb, when do you think? You're right. About 10 years ago, I think it was devised by someone particular because you needed a mission statement. I don't know if it was a group thing. It may have been. Does anybody remember? It was a group thing. Excellent. So here's the mission statement. To be, I thought we were already, a loving, welcoming Christian community where individuals are encouraged to grow in faith and together serve their church and community in God's name. Okay, just put a pin in that. So a mission statement explains what business a business is in, its goals, and its approach to reach the goals. A vision statement describes the desired future position of an organization. A vision statement remains the same, but a mission statement can change if it's so needed. The vision statement is always meant to inspire. The mission statement is made to inform. Okay? Vision statement meant to inspire. A mission statement is meant to inform. So a mission statement is about the present, and a vision statement is about the future. So I Googled Facebook and Google to see what they understood as their mission and vision as companies. Wow. So the mission statement of Facebook, you ready for this one? Is to give people the power to share and make the world more open and connected. What do you think? Wow. Listen to their vision statement. People use Facebook to stay connected with friends and families, to discover what is going on in the world, and to share and express what matters to them. Do you think those are kind of accurate? I mean, do you think they're living out their mission statement? Okay, Google. Google's interesting too. So Google's vision, no, Google's mission statement is to organize the world's information and make it universally acceptable, accessible and useful. Their future statement is to provide access to the world's information in one click. They're actually living it out. In both cases, I think we can agree they meet the mission and their hope for the future. In the case of Jesus, Luke presents a mission statement that is both present and future. It is a mission statement for his time, and it is a vision and a mission statement for the future. Last week, John had the wedding at Cana as the coming out of Christ. Today, in Luke's gospel, following his river baptism, the wilderness fast, and temptation, Jesus returns to his home country. And Luke writes that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He actually had been strengthened by the experience of his encounter with evil. He went to Galilee, as each gospel tells us, signifying his aim to also reach Gentiles. But there were synagogues in Galilee too, and in these Jesus was teaching and being glorified by everybody. So it says he began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. So filled with the power of the Spirit, he returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the country. Luke's version of Jesus' first act of public ministry has him returning to his hometown of Nazareth. He's a local boy. He made good. He's got a name for himself. And he comes home to the same synagogue he would have attended with Mary and Joseph, who had raised him faithfully in the ancient traditions. I'm sure they made sure he attended Sabbath, Sunday school, every week as a baby, a child, and a teenager, and they would bring him to this same synagogue. It must have seemed smaller now. You ever notice that when you're a kid, everything's so big, and then you come back and you go, huh? I'll talk about that later with you. It must have seemed smaller now than when he was a child. On this Sabbath, he's asked to read a lesson from the prophets. There was no lectionary. There was no book of readings for year A, B, and C. He got to choose it. The bulky scroll is brought to him, and it is given to him. And he searches for a familiar text, unrolling it to near the end of the scroll, where in a spirit-filled voice begins. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolls up the scroll. He gives it back to the attendant and takes his seat. It was customary for the teacher to sit rather than stand, and the congregation was expecting some explanation of the text. We heard that in Nehemiah today. So all eyes are on him. And as he looks around them, his immediate family, his childhood friends, the parents of his friends, now senior citizens, he makes a statement that is just as provocative now as it was then. He takes Scripture and he sets it free from the normal, mundane, and boring. He sets the cat among the pigeons, or as one author wrote, he let the lion out of the bag. He says today, Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He claims for himself the ancient prophetic words as his own mission statement. The reason God's Spirit came crashing down at his baptism was to empower him to do exactly this, to bring good news to the poor, proclaim relief to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, where economic justice would conform to God's way. And Jesus takes all of this as his mission statement. Not a bunch of fancy words, but one that he would follow for the rest of his life. He would live out the prophecy he proclaimed for himself. He kept doing what he proclaimed that hometown Sabbath again and again, on roadsides, in homes, on mountainsides, at dinner tables, until finally it became a threat to the established order. Respecting the poor, healing people from their brokenness, letting people be free in all parts of the vision of the kingdom of God is not good news to earthly kingdoms. You imagine if the poor and the oppressed were set free? What do you think would happen to the powers that be? They're wrong, of course. They thought that just by putting him to death, these rumors would cease. But Jesus rises from the dead and continues to do today what he talked about that Sabbath morning so long ago. Now Jesus works through his mystical body, the church, through each one of us. Through each one of us and all who are baptized into his body. We are one body with many members. And because we are one body with many members, this is our mission statement and this is our vision. Jesus does all these things because his church, we the people. Jesus still does all these things because his church, we the people, do them. The poor gain hope, whether it's their souls or bodies that are starved. Soup kitchens. Lunches. The captives experience freedom, whether they are a prisoner in jail or prisoners in a mansion. And the blind receive their sight, whether it is cataract surgery or the scales of hatred and intolerance falling from the eyes of an extremist. The oppressed are set free when oppression is a political regime or a chemical dependence. When Jesus reads this statement in that Nazareth synagogue, he announces a mission statement for himself and for his body, the church. We are living out this mission, practicing these faith principles when we visit the sick, at home and in hospitals. When we gather at the bedside of a dying person and sing them into heaven. When we offer prayers and salutations to people who need it. When we protest the damage being done to the environment. When we help serve food and donate clothes to those who are in need. When we work in thrift shops. We embody the mission when we extend hospitality to our families, to a family that was freeing oppression. When we are intentional about prayer, praying for God's grace on those we love and those we hold at arm's length. These are only a few examples. There are so many more that often go unrecognized, but are no less important in the mind of Christ, of God. And who knows what new examples of living and loving out the mission statement of Jesus will appear in the months and the years ahead. as we strive to keep faithful to these words Jesus read and lived. We have a further explanation from Paul, who explains all have gifts for ministry. And there are many gifts for ministry, from healing to working miracles to teaching to leadership. There are many different gifts. We are not expected to be clones of one another. These different gifts come alive in the whole because Paul writes, "For in the one Spirit we are baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, male or female, we're all made to drink of the one Spirit." Jesus read the old words from Isaiah and claimed them for his own. And we can do the same. So repeat after me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim release to the captives. And recovery of sight to the blind. And let the oppressed go free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. 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 Let us pray. God, grant us a vision to see what we can achieve, to reach beyond ourselves, to share our lives with others, to stretch our capabilities, to increase our sense of purpose, to be aware of where we can help, and Lord, to be sensitive to your presence and to give heed to your constant call. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus.